In Lincoln, the National Weather Service office in Lincoln says that clipper will bring with it the possibility of some light snow. The forecast is for an inch or less across central, east central, and southeastern Illinois. High temperatures today will range from the teens in northern Iowa to 40 degrees in the Ohio Valley. Lows will range from the single digits in southern Wisconsin to the low 20s in southern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, sunny with a high of 29 and a northwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 14. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 35 and a southwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 20. The wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, partly sunny, the high 28. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday night, cloudy with a chance of snow and a low of 13. Friday and Friday night, mostly cloudy with a high Friday in the low 20s and a low Friday night in the single digits. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the low 20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-20s to the low 40s. Most locations reported sunny skies, although snow flurries were reported in northern Indiana. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, it was 28 degrees at the top of the hour. Bloomington Normal reported 24. Danville, 30. Effingham, 33. Carbondale, 40 degrees. At South Bend, 26. Lafayette, 31. Terre Haute, 33. Indianapolis, 32. Evansville, 41. Willard Airport reported 28 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 18. The wind was out of the west at 18 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill index of 15. The relative humidity, 66%, and the barometric pressure, 30.09, and falling. And at 12:39 Central Time, 28 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, we have sunny skies. When the band U2 was in Moscow for its first ever concert in Russia, Bono brought up on the stage Yuri Shevchuk. Shevchuk had implored Bono to raise human rights issues during his visit to the country, a cause that Shevchuk fights for every day. NPR's Moscow correspondent David Green caught up with Yuri Shevchuk, a musician who, within Moscow's borders, is more famous than Bono.
Yuri Shevchuk has been described as Russia's Bruce Springsteen. Back in Soviet times, Shevchuk cleaned streets for a living before forming a band in the 80s and growing into an iconic rocker.
Старая песня, old song, very old song. У тебя есть сын, у меня лишь ночь. У тебя есть сын, у меня лишь ночь.
I met Shevchuk backstage before a concert a few weeks ago. The 53-year-old has floppy hair and a grayish goatee. He was clinging to a cigarette, drinking vending machine coffee, and talking about this oldie. It's called U tebya yest syn, which means you've got a son. Shevchuk remembers when he was a young man getting in a fight with his wife. She left him briefly and took their son with her. I was so lonely, he says. The lyrics came to me immediately. Shevchuk has always connected with working people. He's captured the beauty and pain of everyday life and in Russian society. His family was exiled by Joseph Stalin to Siberia, and that's where Shevchuk was born and grew up. He released this enduring hit, Osen, or Autumn, in 1992 after the Soviet collapse. The song is still wildly popular today. Shevchuk sings about what will happen to the Russian motherland. Will we crawl? Will we find an answer? Will we ever see the dawn? Those questions, Shevchuk says, apply today more than ever. Many artists face that dilemma, whether to keep their message in the music or engage the establishment directly. Shevchuk has often engaged, attending rallies or peace demonstrations, but many in Russia see his frustration now reaching the boiling point. He's fed up that so few people are speaking out.
Сейчас поймите, Вот слово демократия.
The word democracy, we've got to return trust to this word. These days it's used as if it's a profanity. People were fed up with 1992, 1993. There was nothing to eat. We were humiliated. And that was all under the banner of democracy. But we've never really tried democracy in our country. To return trust to this word will be hard work.
And Shevchuk himself went to work at an event this past spring that stunned people here. He and other artists were invited to a roundtable with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin to discuss helping children with cancer. The event was carried live on TV, and when it was Shevchuk's turn, he began asking Putin why there's no free press in Russia and why citizens have to fear the police. Putin listened, stone-faced, his chin in his hand. When the Prime Minister was answering, at one point he scolded the musician for interrupting him. Putin's answer was boilerplate, essentially that Russians must endure certain sacrifices in order to truly develop as a democracy. But rarely, if ever, had the powerful Prime Minister been challenged so publicly.
Ну это же бред собой. Человек 10 лет у власти, его никто ни о чем не спросил, по большому счету.
A person has been in power for 10 years and no one's ever asked him about anything, Shevchuk told me. What kind of horror are we living in if our government doesn't have to reflect on these questions? Yuri Shevchuk says the political opposition in Russia is being shaped now. President Dmitry Medvedev talks about more open democracy, and the country, Shevchuk insists, is starting to stir. But there was little evidence of Shevchuk unleashing that passion in society at his recent concert in Moscow. The arena was packed with thousands, loud and ready to party. Shevchuk egged them on. He began with an old Soviet police song. Behind the musician, a jumbotron played video of modern-day Russian police officers in humiliating moments, downing beers on the street or sleeping on the job. But Shevchuk's fans seemed a little antsy, even bored, as if they were waiting for the real show. The musician tried to explain himself.
Главное равенство всех перед законом, ребята. Может быть, завтра какие-то люди напишут, что это был политический митинг. Это не политика.
Guys, maybe tomorrow people will write that it was a political rally, he said. This is not about politics. It's simple. We're citizens of this country. We want equality before the law. The awkward moment passed as soon as Shevchuk got rocking.
He was always trying to be, you know, where the pain is.
Artemy Troitsky is a popular music critic who attended the concert. Many Russian musicians, he says, are veering away from having any political voice. But Shevchuk, he says, senses opportunity.
Something's going on right now. You know, it's not so boring and dumb as it used to be from the beginning of the Putin's rule. So I think that Yuri is very much in the right place, in the right time, and I think the country needs him like no one else.
Yes, he's a legend, really, and I started listening to Yuri Shevchuk when I was a small child.
That's 27-year-old Ilona Nabatova. She's educated, fluent in English, and works for a German company in Moscow, and she's embarrassed by the state of democracy in her country. This concert was supposed to be her escape.
The Russian reality is so, but we want to go to his concerts and just relax because his lyrics and his texts are really great and we want to just get abstracted from what's going on.
Nabatova appreciates what Shevchuk's trying to do. She's just not confident his political voice will make much difference. And you can hear that when she talks about her favorite song.
Это все. It's translated as that's it, that's all. That's traditionally for, I don't know how many years, for 30 years, his last song in every concert. It's the song in which he will sing that's all that remains after me.
What do you think he means by that?
I think he means that, he's trying to do much what he can, and that's what will be left from him.
One lyric of this song, «Посмотри на меня, не молчи», may actually sum up what Shevchuk is imploring young Russians to do. Look at me and do not be silent.
Посмотри на меня, не молчи.
David Green, NPR News, Moscow.
Палестине.
For anyone who has dreamed of spending the night at the Palace of Versailles, you might have a chance. As Eleanor Beardsley reports, a part of France's most cherished cultural landmark will soon be turned into a luxury hotel.
Hundreds of shivering tourists line up across an immense cobbled courtyard to visit the Palace of Versailles. Home to the French monarchy since Louis XIV, Versailles is a monument to royal grandeur. Soon, the palace may also become known for its five-star hotel. Michael Auchan is the deputy administrator for the Palace of Versailles. He opens the front doors to the future luxury lodging, a grand but dilapidated mansion about 100 yards from the main palace. Known as the Hôtel du Grand Contrôle, the mansion was built in the 1680s to serve as the offices and home of the king's treasurer, where he lived with his family and servants. The Hôtel du Grand Contrôle was evacuated, along with the rest of Versailles, during the French Revolution. In the 19th and 20th centuries, it fell into further disrepair.
The walls here, it's completely crumbling in parts. Many parts of this building are in this very damaged situation. It's very difficult for us because our mission is to save the heritage.
Auchan says Versailles doesn't have the $7 million it will take to restore the building, which is why it turned to a Belgian hotel company. The company will renovate the mansion and turn its 23 bedrooms into a luxury hotel. A percentage of the profits will be paid back to the Palace of Versailles in rent. The restoration is the first in a series of commercial projects aimed at saving French monuments, and visitors will now have the chance to see what it felt like to sleep at the Palace of Versailles.
So when you're here in the bedroom, you open the window and you have this view. So you can see here the orangerie, and here you can see the castle.
The orangerie is the greenhouse where Louis XIV stored his 1,700 orange and palm trees throughout the winter months. The restoration of the Hôtel du Grand Contrôle will take place in 2011 and be overseen by France's top historical architect. Louise Gretter is managing the project for the Belgian hotel company Ivy.
It's quite a pioneering initiative in France for somebody to be able to have the right to take on a project like this in such a historic monument and transform it into an economic project.
Some have been critical about handing over a national treasure to a private operator, but on the streets of Versailles, people seem fine with the idea. Pourquoi pas, says Denise Mosset.
D'abord, ça m'a surprise.
It surprised me at first, says Mosset, but if we don't have the money to